Welcome to The Writer's Block, a podcast for writers by writers, providing you with a great resource and community. Here are your hosts, Abel, Amber, and Julie.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Writer's Block. Today is episode 7, and we are going to talk about getting to know your character slash character mapping. The moderator for this show is Julie, so the video for this will be on her channel. Julie, I wanted to talk about a little bit about your topic.
Absolutely. So today I really wanted to focus on our characters and how we make them real, how we make them come alive, how we keep them flawed and complex and interesting. I think that everybody wants a story with a really, really well-rounded character. So today we're going to break down everything that you need to do to make sure that your character is as good and as compelling and as likable, relatable, or hateable as possible. But before we jump into the first question, I want to take a quick break and have a word from one of our sister podcasts.
Dear listeners of the Writer's Block podcast, we are Abel and Kat, and we are from a new podcast called What the Funko. Kat, you want to tell them a little bit about our new podcast?
Absolutely. If you guys are as big of fans as Funko Pops as we are, we hope that you will join us. We're going to be showing off our collections, our most prized pops, what we have coming up, what we're excited to see. And we're really excited to interact with you guys to see what kind of collections you have. What's your most cherished pop? Do you like to keep your pops in the box or do you like to take them out? So we hope that you join us for our weekly discussions all about Funko Pops.
We launch August 1st everywhere podcasts are found, and we look forward to you listening to us. Thank you guys for listening to this, and enjoy your show.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back. We are going to jump right into the entirety of character mapping, which is a really, really complex and detailed art form. So I'm going to try to break this down into like teeny tiny parts of characters, because there's so much to go over when you come to characters. So first things first, I want to talk about what you love most in a character in a book. Abel, you want to start?
I love a good female villain. So I like Seraphine from The Beautiful Creatures, or what was the cousin's name? She was like a really badass, like bad siren witch.
Oh, the lollipop girl.
Yeah. She was like, oh, she's my life. Like, I love her. And like characters like Cheryl from Riverdale. You know, the ones that you love, the ones that you're not supposed to really love, but you love them anyway. People know Vampire Diaries, Catherine from The Vampire Diaries. She is my queen, all-time queen. That's probably my favorite thing about a character is females that are like kick-ass, and then the ones that are like, they're not only kick-ass, but they play this, like, if you saw them on the street, you would just think they're a real pretty girl, but you don't know that they have all this evil inside of them. And so I love, that's like my favorite character to ever be like read or watch or anything.
Yeah, I love villains as well, but I also love when villains don't look villainous, you know, like you were saying, like, for instance, Umbridge. She likes pink. She loves kittens. She has this cute little, you know,
and
voice.
She's the devil.
But she's the worst villain and the best written villain, I think, in young adult literature in years. But I love a good villain, female or male. I love both. But I also love characters that have a little, that are flawed, that have a little quirk or a little bit of like a grayness to them, because I'm not black or white. I'm gray inside. I'm not neither good nor bad. I'm a little bit of both. So I like to read about, you know, characters that way, or write about characters that way, I guess.
Yeah. I think one of my favorites is I love the main character. Obviously you're supposed to, but I always love like the best friend or the sidekick character. I always think that they're so compelling. I'm like, I want more of them. Like, where are they? And I always try to pay attention to them when I'm writing too, because I was like, I love the supporting cast of characters so much too. So I guess that brings us to, we know what we love and they can't always be the main character. So how do you determine what your, like, who your main character is? You know, like, there's obviously going to be tons of different stories. So some of them are a villain origin. Like, they're not always the good guy. They're not always the bad guy. So how do you craft your main character? Like, what is your process for sitting down to discover your main character of your story?
So for my first book, I really just pantsed it. There was no rhyme or reason to it. My second and going into my third book, I told you recently that I just casted my third book. So I actually picked like actors who would play each character. And that really helped me because I get to see them. So casting them and just putting a picture to the, you know, like a face to the actual person in my head. And then also a lot of that has to do with not necessarily the way that actor looks, but they're like in their interviews and stuff, the actor, their mannerisms or the way they talk or the way they present themselves. That's the reason why I chose characters. But how I, yeah, for my main character, I would say it depends on the story. Like, what do I want the story to be about? Like, in my second book, the main character is actually a fae, and I knew that she was going to be unique. So I added, she looked unique at first, and then as the story goes on, I added these things that make her different. You know, I added her skin glow different colors that nobody has ever, you know, really done that before. Whereas the fae in my books, their eyes glow a certain color, whether they're good or bad, or, you know, good or evil. They vice versa, they go one color or another. And hers are a different color, or have like four or five colors, and people don't understand why. So, yeah, I think just to map out my main character, it depends on what what the story is going to be. So you really have to be a really good plotter, which I'm trying to be, but because then also when you pants, you find yourself going back and correcting a lot of stuff, because then you, like, my editor will write me back and she'll be like, that's not something he would do. And I'm like, bitch, yes it is. Like, but like, really, you know, she knows our characters. So you have to be a really, for that question in general, you have to be a really good plotter. And just recently, I can only speak on it because of recently I've tried to start doing that.
Yeah, so my characters, most of the time I do start just pantsing, and usually about halfway through, they really start talking to me and I get to know them a lot better. But then, as is the problem, you usually have to change everything in the beginning, because now what they did in the beginning doesn't really match anymore. And so with this new story that I'm working on, I did try to do more character mapping, and I took the quizzes and I did, you know, filled out the sheet and did everything to really get to know them. But once I actually started writing, the character really started to speak to me. So I think I have to actually start writing their story before I can fully understand inside of their head.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just really quickly, I wanted to add to that, because I think that we've all said it before, where like your character will kind of go mute on you. Like, after, mm-hmm. like you're writing, all of a sudden your character's throwing a tantrum. They're like, I'm not going to come out and play today. And you're like, oh my God, like, what the hell's going to happen? But it's because something else in your story is usually wrong. Or like I said in the past, I had to introduce another character and develop a whole different kind of story, like a B plot line. And then my character's like, okay, I'm getting jealous. Like, I want your attention again. And literally in your head, it happens like that. So I just, mm-hmm. you know, had to add that out there.
No, it's totally true. And I think for me, I definitely am coming from a plotter standpoint, and I'm starting to pants a lot more. But one thing that I do not pants ever is character. So I always sit down. I can pants the heck out of any plot once I know my characters, because if I know my characters well enough, they will lead me through the story and I can trust their decisions and their actions because I know them inside and out. So what Amber said in her answer was she filled out the whole form. I'm actually going to try to have the form in the description of my video as a Google Doc, because I do have an entire character spreadsheet that I use in Scrivener, which is what I use to write. And I sit down before any story and I go through a character, and it gives me literally everything. So like, as a quick general overview, I will tell you, it gives you their name, their nickname, their age, their race, their siblings, their parents, their relationship with those family members. It gives you a whole personality breakdown. So are they extroverted or introverted? Do they have any hobbies? What's their style like? What's their speech patterns? Do they have any quotes that they really love? Are they big into music? You know, whatever that is. And then it goes down even further into like socioeconomic status. And do they have a car? Do they have a job? Do they have, you know, are they religious? What are their main motivations? What are they most afraid of? What are they most excited by? What are their goals in life, short term and long term? And I go through the entire thing. And I take the Myers-Briggs personality test and I break that down for each character. Like I take it as that character once I've spent a little bit of time with them. And I take that, and then that further helps me establish what their motivations would be, what their reactions would be in different situations. And I fill out that entire sheet for my main character at the very least, and then usually at least a couple of the supporting characters that I know we're going to run into the soonest. And I know that before I sit down to write a single word of the book. And that's personally how I help know that my story is going to be led by a strong character who, even if she goes rogue, I know will take the story where it needs to go. So do you do anything like that, Abel, when you sit down to map a character?
Well, there's this website that I use called Story Shop, and it's like $9 a month. And it's very similar to what you're saying with spreadsheet. It has all of these different personality tests, and it's very cool because you can put in the character and fill out everything that you want about them. Each character has a bio. And from the homepage, it kind of looks like, remember MySpace, like top eight? Like you have the pictures. Well, it's kind of like a social media for your characters. And it tells, like, you click on them and it pulls up their profile. And their profile will tell you, you can link them to other characters. So it can say, like, how character X knows character B. And it's kind of like a Wikipedia page where you click on character B's link and then it takes you to their page. And like you go down the rabbit hole, you know, so you can link them and tells you how every single character knows each other, who doesn't know each other, how that way you don't get confused when, you know, because sometimes it's confusing if you're in, say, book three of a series and characters from book one come along and they really don't know each other. And all of a sudden, book three, they know each other. You know, you have to kind of know who knows who. And so it really helps because it's very visual and it's very clean. And again, it tells you, you can link it and do all of that. And that's, I just started using that for the next book that I plan to write, I keep saying that it's the first time I'm really like plotting. But I'm excited because I have each character, I have pictures of their houses. I've linked all of them and it tells me who knows who hates who. Who's going to date who, you know, I even have someone who's going to kill the first person, you know, off in the story. Like I know that kind of stuff already. So, but it was the first time I ever took like any kind of, like, it tells you, like, take a test for them. Like, does your character like chewing gum? Does your character like this? And it's all important because it helps you later. It gives you all of these ideas. Like while you're writing, you can, like, each character has a mannerism, so you can say, like, my character, you know, like, in your story, you can say, you know, she was chewing gum. Earlier, we talk about her name was Ridley, the girl with the lollipop in Beautiful Creatures. Yes. You know, everybody knows her because of the lollipop thing, and so things like that keeps little quirks like that, and that is really helpful. And again, it's called Story Shop, so I don't get paid for them, by the way.
Yeah, I'll link that down below, too.
It's not, this isn't a paid advertisement. It's just because I actually use it. So, yeah, it's really cool.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah.
I've actually had characters show up, and I didn't even know that they existed until they showed up in the story. And I had one, her name was Sheila, and she showed up and around the corner one time, and she kind of took over the story a little bit. But when Julie read that story, she was like, who's this? What's her motivation? Why is she here? And I was like, I don't know. And so now I'm trying to get better acquainted with something, the spreadsheets, because I never know my character's motivations, and that's part of the problem of pantsing them. So
yeah. I think the better you know your characters when you start to write, the more you can predict. Like, that's the beauty of it. Like, once you know them, you can pants the rest, because if you get into a situation and you don't ever have to question what your character would do in that situation, because you know exactly what they would do without question. And Amber speaks to something that I think is really important as a part of character mapping, and that is character motivation. And whether it's the villain, the antagonist, the protagonist, side character, whatever it is, I think knowing your base character motivations are so important, because that does dictate how they behave in so many different situations. So is that something that you sit down to think about before you start to able, like, out aside from like physical attributes or, you know, different attitudes towards things, do you ever think about their like motivations throughout their story arcs?
Yeah, because although I did pants my first book, I knew from book one to book three what each book was going, what was going to happen in each book. So I knew what the character, where he had to get every time. So I didn't know necessarily, you know, what would happen every single scene, but I knew at the end of book one, this happens, at the end of book two, this happens. And at the end of the whole thing, this is where he's going to be and this is where it's going to happen. So I've known his story and I've known, I know his journey, you know, but I feel like he's, I've been writing him for 8 or 9 years now. So I feel, hold on, no way. Wow. It's been longer than that. It's like 11 years. Holy crap. Yeah. So he's been living in my head for like 11 years. So I feel that although I didn't have to, I didn't plot him, I just feel like when you have a character that's been with you that long, you know, you know what he's going to do and stuff. And then I have my editor who's like really able, he's not going to say that. Like she's very honest with me and she's very like, you know, he's not going to do that. And that's why I feel like it's so easy for you to, plot Julie, because you are an editor as well, so it's like, you know, you're the evil side of publishing for me. And so I feel like that's it comes probably easier to you to do that. But I know where he's going to be and I know his story, but I don't always plan it out that way. It's just because I've been with him for so long.
And then Amber, how about you? And I know character motivations are something new to you, but as somebody who used to go into stories not knowing character motivations versus now trying to know them, do you see a difference in the way your story will probably pan out? Like the pros and cons of knowing it versus not knowing it, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to save me about 30,000 words because...
Oh, God.
You know, because before, like, I would go about halfway into the story and then realize my character's motivation and it would completely change and then basically have to rewrite that first half completely because it's not how my character's what it had nothing to do with what they would actually do. So I think now knowing it more, I'm going to save a lot of words and I'm going to get through my first draft quicker. I'm going to have quicker edits. I think that it's going to be a smoother process overall because I do feel like this new character, even though they're very new in my head, I already know them so much better than I know some of my old characters. So I do think it's going to make a huge difference. Now check with me again in like 3 months and I'll tell you the truth because then hopefully I should be done with my first draft, but you know.
So let's talk for a second about poor character mapping and situations where we've read a book or we've sat down and we've tried to read something and you realize that you can't connect with a character, you know, like when there's poor character development, poor character mapping, if the author doesn't know the character, you as a reader can't know the character. So you sit down and you realize that we all, between the three of us, really like character driven stories. So if you don't know your characters and they're not fully fleshed out, you end up with really flat stories. So in terms of characters that don't work for you and like when a character falls flat, what would you say are some of the pitfalls or like things to avoid in a character that you know will probably make it an unrelatable character that doesn't carry a story?
I think you have to be careful when you are writing about, you know, quote unquote, the chosen one of some kind. I think because if you don't write that very well, it can be an eye roll for anyone at this point. I feel like every YA story has a chosen one of some kind, of some, for some reason. And I think that if you're not careful and you don't, like you said, map out your character very well, people aren't going to care or they're not going to relate to that person. You have to kind of make them relatable first and then introduce their, like, the chosen one, right? Like, so, okay, you fall in love with the characters and you have to map them out. Like you said, you have to make them relatable. You have to make them human. You have to give them struggles. Because if a character doesn't have any kind of struggle, no one's going to be able to relate with them because all of us in real life have struggles of some kind, whether it's they have this nervous tick or, you know, like us, we're talking about we fidget all the time and if a character's not fidgeting all the time, I can't relate to them. Or Amber in her bath bomb, you know? So if characters aren't fidgeting or if character is, you know, she has bleach blonde hair. She's rich. She's fabulous. She has a husband, and she never gets cheated on, and she lives the perfect life. Nobody in America, maybe 1%, will relate to that, and probably not even then. So you have to make your characters. I think a true good character is actually flawed in some kind of way. You have to have flaws. And so I feel like if you don't have a flaw in your character, you're setting it up for failure of some kind. It doesn't have to be of a bad flaw, just some kind of flaw. I think you're setting up for failure if you don't.
Yeah, I mean, we all want hashtag relatable, right? I mean, we all want it. And I think that a lot of times when I see characters that I can't connect with, they're always like this weird cardboard cutout. So they're like, hey, Tim is a hero. Tim is big and he's strong and he always says the right thing and he saves the damsel in distress and he has dimples and blue eyes. And it's just, okay, but what makes him tick? What pisses him off? What makes him cry? You know, what did his dad do to him to make him want to be a hero? I mean, it's these things, you know. It's just, I've read so many stories where it's just a manic pixie dream girl, or it's just a cardboard cutout of who you think we want to read about, but it's not. I want relatable. I want flawed, like you said. My characters always have a tick, just like I do. I always fidget. I've had one character that always blows her bangs up constantly, as like when she's nervous. I have a character, Timothy, his name, that always rubs his jaw when he's thinking. It's these little tiny things that I add that I feel like help them be a real person, because I don't want a perfect, like, stand there and smile and have no reaction to the crappy things that are happening and just like, I'll save the day, you know. So
I absolutely agree. I think that the easiest way to make sure that your character is two-dimensional and not real is to not give them flaws, to not give them any kind of struggle, whether it's family, friends, to not put them in situations where they have to make really, really hard choices, which brings me to another kind of like two-part question. One is, you have a lot of writers that realize that their characters need to be flawed, but they're afraid to go there. So their flaw is like, I'm too caring. I say yes too much. And I'm like, that's not a flaw.
Get me.
That's not a relatable flaw. Like, if your biggest flaw is like, I'm too sweet and I let people walk all over me, like, unless it's to an extreme, that's not a suitable flaw. So how do you determine just how flawed or gray your characters are and how much pain you put them through? Because all characters have to have some kind of struggle, and a lot of writers really struggle with like going there and actually making their characters hurt. So how do you as a writer go there with your characters and make them hurt? Like, that's a part of your character's growth. So like, how do you get there with them?
I think it depends on the character. There's again, in my first series, it's like a group. It's obviously the main character's a guy, but it's a group of friends that it's like four or five of them that are friends, and it's the gang. You know, I call them the gang. They are kind of the main characters, and each of them has different flaws. Like the main character's girlfriend, her flaw is that she's a little bit jealous, and she just found out, you know, she's jealous, and jealousy plays a role in their relationship, and that flaw affects her boyfriend, the main character, and the way he reacts to her. And his flaw was being a little, he found out that one of his flaws was being naive to things like that. He didn't understand what a girl's jealousy meant. He didn't understand that talking to another girl might upset his girlfriend, or hugging another girl might upset his girlfriend. So being naive to things like that. So I think that one character's flaw can probably uncover another character's flaw. And I think that it just really depends on the character, I think. Like you said, though, it does have to be relatable. It has to be something that, you know, like with something I'm reading, I'm like, same. Like when I'm reading it, like in my head, I'm like, same. Like, that's me. You know what I mean? Like, I have to be able to do that. I have to, or else I'm just like, ugh, whatever. Like, I hate them.
Okay, so for me, I've definitely had this problem. I had a character that lived in this fantasy world, and she found out she was a demigoddess. Her mother was a goddess, and she learned magic, but nothing was a struggle. She learned magic easily. She, things came, and she defeated them without ever struggling. And now I understand that that's not a good character, and I realized it probably halfway through writing that trilogy. But I think I'm kind of a bit of a sociopath, to be honest, because I enjoy stories where people fail. I enjoy stories where people are just pushed through the ringer and killed with emotion. I like, We Were Liars by E. Lockhart and The Serpent King by Jeff Zettner, ones that make me cry, like Kim Kardashian. Like, I want to. And so I have no problems putting my characters through those situations. I have no problems. I can be sociopathic and be like, you know what? Just for that, your brother's dying, okay, bitch? And kill him. I have no problem at all, ever. So.
Awesome.
Oh, God.
I definitely struggled with that. Like, throughout my flash fiction, I have no problem doing, like, little short struggles. But as I worked on my novel, I was like, I don't want her to hurt. She's my sweet little baby. I work so hard for her. Like.
Guys, really. I am there right now in my first trilogy. I'm about to start writing the last book, but I just, let's be real, I'm a writer. I'm gonna put it off for as long as I can. When I get to writing the last book, I know that I want something really bad to happen. Like, a main character has got to die, and it's going to break my entire heart. And I'm not going to write that. Like, you can't make me. But I'm struggling with that right now. Like you can't make me write that. But I know for the sake of it being a good book, it needs to happen.
Yeah. I can just see you in front of your computer like, I'm not going to do it. Like,
hence the reason why I'm putting it off for a year. I mean.
Yeah. So a writer friend of mine, shout out, hey Rosie, she actually has been texting me about killing off one of her characters, and she's like, I don't know if I want to do it, and she's like, my husband says I shouldn't do it, and I'm like, do it, kill him. So now you know, Rosie, why I'm a bit of a sociopath. I want him to die.
I think that a well-placed death and like not a return from death is a very effective writing tool. And I think that it can really elevate a book, and it can really like take characters to a new place, because everybody deals with grief and loss in different ways. And it can really push forward a conflict or a battle or like something that's coming, like it can be very, very impactful. And I think that that's a big part of character arcs as well, is how they deal with things in times of struggle.
But here's the caveat to that, though. It only works if we deeply care for the character. So if you haven't written a character that we have deeply fallen in love with, that death is going to mean nothing to me. It's going to be like, yeah, push him to the side, whatever. But if we care, we're going to tweet you that you're a monster. And that's all I strive for, is to have people tweet me that I'm a monster one day. Because
this character that I plan to write off or kill is like, no matter who you are, you will love this character, because I think everyone has this character in their family, and this one character is just, I know that everyone, I just like will die. I'm gonna die when that happens.
if you feel the pain from killing him, we will feel your pain as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. All right, so let's take it back to like base level, because we kind of jumped into like broader motivations and broader strokes for a character. So let's get down to the one thing that either authors love or authors loathe, and that is naming your characters.
Loathe.
How do you pick a name for your character, Abel?
I fucking hate it. So I have all different kinds of name generators of like top baby names from different centuries and different countries. I kind of go through, those have been my, like the top thing I use actually is the top names, and whatever, like the next book that I plan to write, it's very, like a lot of the characters are like Arabic, and so I had to, and I picked some beautiful names. Oh my God, I hope I pronounced that right, because I have no idea how the hell to pronounce that, but they're so beautiful to me. They're so foreign. So I use that a lot. But I'll tell you that for my main character in my first book, I use a name generator, and I kind of put two words together. So, like, his name is Malyut, and really the first part of his name is Mal, and that in Spanish that means bad. So it's very obvious. Mm-hmm. It's like the bad guy. You know what I mean? And so, but I'll tell you, if I don't hear a name and I'm like, oh, that's pretty, I kind of put it like in, I'll put it like in my, like a name bank in my head or something. Or a lot of times street names, you know, like you're driving some like out of town, mm-hmm. or something, and I'll see a street name. I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. Like, you know, but I'll tell you, I fucking hate it. Cause like, I just hate it. I hate it. I hate name it. Characters.
I hate like, it too. I hate it too.
But yeah, I'll say my main character from the first book I ever wrote was just because that's, if I ever have kids, that's exactly the name I'm going to give him. Mason Connor. Mason Connor, that's his first and middle name. And if I ever have kids, that will be my child's name. So that's the only reason why.
Good name.
Yeah.
It's a good name. If you go back and look at some of my characters, so many characters' names start with A, because I literally go down the list and every time I end up picking an A name, because I'm like, oh my God, this is too many names. Okay, Alex, that's good. Let's go with Alex.
Let's go. And then you always want to go with like unique names, but you're like, you can't go too crazy because then people won't get it. You know, it's like, I'll tell you, I'm deeper.
I actually try to do non-unique names because people get crazy with new unique names sometimes. Yeah. So I always try to do very like common names for my characters.
Yeah, I also picked like from Game of Thrones. One of my favorite characters is his name is Joffrey, and so yeah, but in my book he's my favorite, you know, so it's different.
I'm like,
but the Game of Thrones Joffrey is not a good character.
He's horrible.
I know.
I hate him.
Yeah, I think that it's one of the most difficult things for me. Like, I can sit down and I can tell you everything about that character, but sometimes their name just doesn't come to me. Like, it's either there from the get-go, or I could literally replace any name in their spot and they would still mm-hmm. be the same person. And I'm like, I don't care. Somebody asked me the other day, he's like, can you put my daughter in your book? I was like, I could literally plug her in 1,000 places. I don't. Yes, I can. Yeah,
your daughter's my main character now. I mean,
your daughter's now my main character because I don't care. I can't tell you how many times I've done find and replace for a character's name because I'm like, I don't think I like it. I just find and replace it. Like, it doesn't matter to me. And like, unless it does, like, it either super matters and I'm not going to change it, or I don't care at all. I've actually started using this. Scrivener has like an in Scrivener name generator that does first and last. And I'm like, do that all day long because I can't give two fucks. I just can't.
Yeah.
Like, I know everything else, but their name, I just don't.
And then it's even worse if you have to come up with the last names, you know, like, oh.
You try to make them region specific.
Yeah. Oh my God. Kill me now.
Where you're trying to get a character where you can like still have a character name, but still have like a cool sounding nickname, especially if they're like in a younger friend group. You're like, well, what nickname can I use? Like, I hate that nickname. Can't use that name. And it's like,
we see, like, I'm from the South. So it's very, and my book is based in the South. So like, I'm like, I don't have a middle name, but I know all my friends, the way you could tell they were in trouble is whenever their family says their whole name. So I'm like, oh, so my character, he needs to have a middle name because that's how you know you're in trouble. And Mason Connor, you get your, you know, A in the kitchen now. And then, to be honest, his last name was Fitzgerald, basically just from Fitz from Scandal. So that was easy.
You know, Julie, I've never thought about a character's nickname before I went up the mountains with you. Because I've never really thought about it, because I don't have a nickname. My name doesn't really go with a nickname. So I've never even thought about that. But then now that I was with you, all my characters have to have a nickname. I'm like, that's a good idea. They have to have a nickname.
Yeah, I think that's like a YA or new adult. Like, a lot of, like, especially like you said, if they have friends, like, they're going to have some kind of name for them.
Or... they'll have a nickname, whether it's like a last name shortening or mm-hmm. some derivative of their actual name. Like, I know myself and my friend groups, we always had nicknames for each other growing up. So, like, to write characters that don't have nicknames feels very, very foreign. And the only time there's not going to be a nickname use is if it's like a really buttoned up kind of a character that's like, no, my name is Simon, like the whole name, you know, or whatever. Like, so
I guess I'm just buttoned up because I never had a nickname. None of my friends ever had nicknames.
I did. I had a nickname for my family and my name. But, like, I don't know. I just, yeah, names suck. And then you have, like I'm saying, and then if it's from the South, like, you have to have a middle name because everyone, you know, that's, you know, you're in trouble, you know. And
yeah. And not even that. In the South, you need to have, like, a lineage behind your name. Like, how many times is your, like, middle name your mother's maiden name? You know, like, there's always a story to your name in the South.
Like, and so, then it's like, very, you know, think of, like, Fitzgerald. That's very, mm-hmm. like, it has a history, and it has a kind of like a Roosevelt. Like, it just has a history of some kind. Like, and you have to think of things like that because if not, people will read you. People will, like, that's not somebody would, you know, they wouldn't be named that. I'm like... Okay.
Who cares?
They will
go to hell. Go to hell.
So that leads into my next question, which is planning out your characters and their heritage and or diversity. So I want to talk about when we're building our characters, whether or not we're taking into account their heritage, either by way of name, like surname, last name, and then like also the diversity in our characters, either by race, religion, sexuality in our characters, and how that plays into their, like, the character mapping that you do for your characters. So I would love to hear each of your take on diversity in that way in your book so that we're not all writing blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, Caucasian characters. So Abel, do you want to start off?
Yeah, my first book is very that. It's very... Caucasian high school characters, but then I was like, I need something, and I can't just randomly put the random Hispanic Latino in there out of nowhere, right? I can't put the Latino friend in there just because I was already writing it. And so I have a gay uncle in there that I've got feedback from that everybody loves. It's a gay uncle. And so that was my first book. My second book, I'm much more aware, and so now I'm writing this other series, I have, you know, African American. I have some that I just described as like, she has like a brown skin, but I'm gonna leave that to be the reader to kind of whatever they want in their head. And I kind of give. I've also learned to. I'm starting to give just like hints at, like, you know, kind of like J.K. Rowling with Hermione. She just kind of described her was, you know, crazy wavy hair, but she never really said the color of her skin. You know, because that's kind of the reader, you get to pick that yourself. But then in the third book series that I haven't started to write yet, I knew that I wanted it to be very foreign. I wanted it to be, for me at least, and they have, a lot of them have Arabic descent, and I'm very fascinated with that culture and their, you know, their just the religion, everything. I'm very just fascinated by them, and I feel like they're some of, like, the most beautiful people. They have the perfect skin color in there. You know, think of, what's her name from Quantico? I cannot say her name, but she is so beautiful. She's like the lead actress from Quantico, but, Priyanka something. And anyways, I am very...
Chopra.
Yes. So, like, my entire cast for this next series is going to be of, you know, kind of like Arabic descent of some kind. And so I just, you have to make yourself aware, I think. Before I joined BookTube, I never read with a purpose, so I never read looking for things like that for diversity. And I think BookTube opened my eyes, and that's probably why in my second book in the first series I introduced a gay uncle, because I'm like, I'm writing American trash, you know, I'm writing just like, you know, this perfect little high school story with blonde hair girl walks in the building. And BookTube really helped open my eyes. And now I write much more with a purpose, and I read with a purpose too. Mm-hmm. If a book doesn't have a gay character or like someone of color, I'm like, this is trash.
Yeah. I think I've always had characters in my story that are on the LGBT, you know, QIA+ spectrum. Or and not or, but and also I have characters of different descents, different religions, different, you know, areas. Fun fact about me is I've never actually written a character with blonde hair and blue eyes because I have blonde hair and blue eyes. And the best part of writing is getting to be someone else. And why would I want to be me when I could be someone else for once, you know? But this actually, the character I'm writing right now is the first time I've ever even given one of my characters blonde hair, which is she's got brown eyes, which is actually more common, blonde hair and brown eyes. But I always have people of color in my stories. Usually one of my main characters is always either a mixed race or, you know, fully a person of color, which is in the book I'm writing right now, the two main characters, one is a girl that is, you know, of color and the other one is a white girl, but, and they might be a little gay together. I'm not going to say yet, but, not a little bit, but, no, but I enjoy the diversity in characters because I grew up being a white female with blonde hair and blue eyes. And I was fascinated by all these other cultures and Indian culture and African-American culture and Greek culture and just all these different cultures in my family that, to me, why write just a straight white person? Like, that's boring nowadays. It's been done. Let's give us something new. I don't want to write it. I don't want to read it. It's very important to me.
I think it is. And I think that Abel's right. I think that post BookTube and post critical reading, you realize what the market is and what the market wants and what the, not the trend, but just that diversity is expected. It's not the bonus anymore. It's not the bonus character. It's expected because that's what our world is. And the more that people are comfortable coming out and being themselves, the more that that should be reflected in our literature as well. So I'm really excited. I will not lie. When I was in high school or in my early writing, it was just easiest for me to write about Caucasian characters because that's what I was. I'm a Caucasian straight girl. But there's so much more diversity in my actual novels than there was in my short stories and flash fiction. And I'm really, really excited about that. And I think that that's something that should absolutely 100% play into your character breakdown. And getting to know your characters is getting to know their culture, getting to know their heritage, getting to know a little bit more about them and their background, and their journey, whether it's, you know, somewhere on the spectrum or their journey with race and race relations. I just think that that's such a really great aspect of a character that can make them feel so real. But I agree, Abel, that there's a beauty to the Hermione character where you can kind of read and put yourself in their shoes because they're not over-described. So there's kind of like a double-edged sword there. Like there's kind of something fun about leaving enough open where you can be like, she could be me. Like it's never said that she's not. So she could be me. And you can kind of insert yourself in the story. But then there's a ton to be said for people of color being able to see themselves in stories because they are defined as, you know, people of color or on the queer spectrum. So I agree. That was actually all of my little bullet points for character mapping. And then I will make sure to link down below the story shop and then as well as the Google Doc for what I use for my breakdown, which I've already shared with Amber. But does anybody else have anything else to add about character mapping or getting to know your characters at the beginning of the writing process?
No, I just think, again, if you're a plotter, this probably comes a lot easier to you. And I can only really speak on it because I just started plotting or trying. I'm not the best plotter, but I'm trying. And, but it really will pay off because when you get notes from your editor and it's like, your character wouldn't say this, you're like, fuck off. He would, you know, the editor's right. So the editor is right. Listen to your editor.
We're always right.
Yeah, for me, it's just, you know, as a full-on pantser, I'm all for pantsing a story. I think it's a fun way to write. Lainey Taylor is a pantser, by the way. But
her writing is so beautiful.
I think that if you're going to pants a story, that's great, but at least know your characters. And then your pantsing will actually have more purpose than it would have if you pants a character. So.
Yeah. Exactly. I couldn't agree more. If you're going to take the time to plot anything, make it your characters. Well, that was it.
You don't have to call it plotting.
Awesome episode, guys. Next episode, we are going to be talking about tips for building your publishing team. Really, if this is going to be, if you're a self-publisher or self-publishing, and you know, I guess that even if you are looking for an agent, or this could be, if we're going to get into it next topic. So that will be in a couple of weeks, and I will be the moderator for that show. Hopefully I can get through it. But yeah, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you guys in a couple of weeks. Enjoy.
Thank you for tuning in to The Writer's Block. We hope you'll join us for our next show. And until then, remember, it's perfectly okay to write garbage as long as you edit brilliantly.